chapter 48 tonight. Genesis chapter number 48. Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter number 48. Genesis chapter 48. That's a, you don't even know what's going on. Anyway, that's pretty funny right there. Amen. Genesis chapter 48. You got it. You can tell my mind is distracted. I'm thinking of something else. Genesis chapter 48 tonight, friends. Just in case you're wondering, Genesis chapter 48. Got it. Amen. Be careful, I'm going to change my message here. Let me read three verses of scripture to get my title from. Relax, it's not going to be that long of a sermon, okay? Look at verse number one. It came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. So here we see Jacob is sick. Verse number 10, and the eyes of Israel, that's Jacob, were dim for age so that he could not see. So he's not only sick, he's blind. Then we go to verse number 21. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die. So you see, Jacob is sick, blind, and ready to die. So tonight I want to preach on this subject, when Jacob was sick, blind, and ready to die. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us, I pray. Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in this chapter before us, we see a tender scene taking place between Jacob, Joseph, and Joseph's two sons. It's been reported that the last three acts of Jacob that concerns Jacob before he died are actually bedside scenes in which Jacob is bedridden. This is one of those scenes later in his life. As we look at this story, we see in verse 1 how Jacob is sick. Verse number 10, we see that he's blind. In verse number 21, he is ready to die. Just considering the one word sick here, that word, it's been reported, is in the original, conveys the idea of being worn down and becoming infirm through age or disease. Verse 10 tells us how Jacob couldn't see at this time in his life. Verse 21 tells us how Jacob knew his time on this earth was about spent. He told his son, he said, behold, I die. And this brings about how Jacob was dying, and he knew it. Here's the thought. Jacob is old, he's sick, he's blind, and he's approaching death very quickly. The point is, Jacob was an old man whose body was giving out on him. His eyes had become so dim he could not see, and he realized that his days on earth were now numbered. However, in this chapter, we see several things that Jacob did while he was in this condition. As a matter of fact, what we see that he did while he was sick and blind and ready to die should be a challenge to our heart today. Especially if you're one who cannot seem to do the things that once you could do. There are folks in any size church, especially a larger church, which this would be considered, I guess, a larger church. The fact of the matter is there are dear, precious people today who are getting older and older, and they have become sick and infirmed and feeble, and approaching death just seems right around the curve. But I'm going to tell you something. Before we ever get to these things about Jacob and what he did when he was sick, let us consider something about what one man said here. He said, while one's physical handicaps may be great, yet they should not eliminate one from doing something for God. Let me say that again. While one's physical handicaps may be great, yet they should not eliminate one from doing something for God. See, we'll see in this passage how it's not lack of physical abilities that limits our work for God, but rather it's a lack of faith. Let me say that again. We'll see in this chapter it's not lack of physical abilities. I just can't do what I used to could, you see. That's an old southern term, used to could there. The fact of the matter is this. We'll learn in this chapter that as Jacob's body is getting old, he's sick, he's feeble, he can't see, he's dying, and he knows it. He's getting weaker and weaker and weaker by the day. We see that while his body took some things away from him, there were several things his body could not take away from him. And tonight I want to give you five things that Jacob did when he was sick, blind, and ready to die. Now, I'm not just talking to our precious elderly people tonight. This obviously applies to our elderly folks. But this applies to any kind of a physical limitation that you may have. You may be sick. You may have cancer. Whatever the case may be. When your body is limited, this is what I'm talking about. Because the Bible even says in the opening part of this chapter that when Jacob heard that Joseph was coming to see him, he had to strengthen himself just to sit up on his bed. His body is limiting him. And with that thought, I want to give you some things that when Jacob was old, sick, and ready to die, he, number one, are you with me tonight? Your body may not be as strong as it used to be. You might be getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And the devil tries to whisper in your mind and in your ears. Listen, you can't do anything for God. God doesn't expect as much out of you. He understands. Can I say this to you? If you are breathing, God has a work for you to do. If you are breathing, God's not finished with you. This being the case, let me give you five things that even though he could not do some things he used to, these things he still did when he was sick and blind and ready to die. Number one, when Jacob was sick, blind, and ready to die, number one, he spoke about God. He spoke about God. We see this in verse 3. Notice it. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. See, someone told Joseph about how his father was sick. This is found in verse number 1. So Joseph purposely took his two children. By the way, they were grown-ups at this time. They weren't little munchkins unless they were my size, but they were older in life. And we see here that he purposely took his two boys with him to see his daddy, his dying daddy. By the way, before I get to this main thought about how Jacob spoke about God, let me say something here. It is good to acquaint young people that are coming into the world with aged servants of God that are going out of the world, friends, whose dying testimony to the goodness of God and the pleasantness of wisdom's ways may be a great encouragement to this rising generation. Let me tell you one of the burdens I have as pastor of this church. I have a burden as pastor of this church for people who are older in life and they are living for God. I mean, their life backs up what they say and they're serving Jesus to reach out and grab a teenager. You older men, grab a young man and pour your life out into him. I'm telling you that this younger generation needs to see the God that our elderly people serve in this church. It's good to get young people and younger people with older, aging, dying servants of God. That's a good thing. But what I'm saying to you under this first point here is that even though his body was weak and even though he was sick and he was blind and he was ready to die, he did not stop speaking about God. He kept on talking about God. See, Jacob heard how Joseph was coming to see him. And the Bible says in verse 2, I believe it is, that he strengthened himself to sit up upon the bed for his coming. And when Joseph and his sons got there, it is interesting that the first thing we see Jacob doing when he was sick, when he was blind, when he was ready to die, is he spoke about God. He told them how God had appeared to him in the land of Canaan and how God had blessed them. He went on to say how God told him he would be fruitful and multiply and made into a great people and given the promised land for an everlasting possession. Joseph was speaking about his meeting with God years earlier, you see, and he was speaking about how good God had been to him. Friends, in this we see that even though sickness and age can take strength away from our bodies, it cannot take our speaking about God away from us. As our bodies become weaker with age and our strength begins to fail and our bodies start giving out on us, let us never forget how good God has been and share His promises with everybody we come in contact with. Let us lift our voices to speak about how great God is, even in times of sickness and imminent death. Don't ever fall prey that when you lose your health, you've lost your usefulness. That is not true. That is not true. I'm telling you that you may lose your health. You may be getting older. By the way, everybody is. Listen, your body may have limitations. He couldn't see any longer. He was sick, the Bible says. He was weak. He was older. And he knew death was right around the corner. But the first thing we see him still doing in that condition is saying, "Let me tell you how good God's been to me." You see that it could not take his speaking about God away. Number two, when Jacob was sick and blind and ready to die, he not only spoke about God, but number two, he praised God. He praised God. We see this in verse 5 through 11, then verses 15 to 16. Notice this. "And now thy two sons," this is Jacob speaking to Joseph, "Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine." In other words, he's adopting them as his own so he can include them into the covenant. "As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan, in the way when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, this same as Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, Who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, They are my sons whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, Bring them, I pray, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph," notice his language, "I had not thought to see thy face. And lo, God has showed me your seed also." Look at verse number 15. "And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let thy name be named on them and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." See, in verses 5 through 11, we see Jacob is old. He could not see. He is sick and his body is giving out on him. And when he beheld Joseph's sons, he said, "Who are these?" Because he couldn't see, you understand? He couldn't see at all, well, whatever the case may be. Joseph told him how these were the children that God had given him in that place. And Joseph brought his boys near unto Jacob, where Jacob kissed them and embraced them. And then Israel, Jacob, he said this. He said, "I didn't think I'd ever see your face again." Because he thought he was dead, you understand? But he said, "God has not only let me see your face, but God has showed me your seed also." In this we see during his time of sickness, it did not rob his heartfelt praise to God for bringing him back together with Joseph and his grandchildren. Then in verses 15 and 16, we see Jacob, while he blessed Joseph and while he blessed these boys, he began to praise God. He said, "I praise God," in verse number 15, "the God which fed me all of my life." You know what that word "fed" means? It carries the idea of a shepherd. The God who has taken care of me. The God who has met my every need. The God who's led me past still waters and led me to green pastures. He begins to praise God here and praising him for his lifelong blessings of God. He went on to praise God for redeeming him from all evil. In this we see Jacob, while he was sick. That's the key tonight, friends. While he was sick, while he was blind, and while he was ready to die, while his body was limited in certain things, it could not take away his heartfelt praise to God. Friends, we learn here that even when our bodies grow old, become sick and feeble, and death seems imminent, something else we can do is praise God for how He's taken care of us down through life. Praise Him for His mercy, for His grace, for His provision. Psalm 150, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord, praise God in the sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power. Psalm 106, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Number one, when Jacob was sick, blind, and ready to die, we see, number one, that he spoke about God. Number two, we see he praised God. And number three, we see he obeyed God. He obeyed God. We see this in verse number 12 through 14, and then verses 17 to 20. Notice this now. Look at verse number 12. And Joseph brought them from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. That's talking about his sons here. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. Now, look up here just a moment. If I can give you a picture here, we see Jacob, if you will. This is his bed, okay? That's his bed, and he is facing Joseph. I'm Joseph tonight, okay? I have my children. And what he does is he takes Ephraim, the youngest, in his right hand and takes it towards Jacob's left hand. He takes the oldest, the firstborn, in his left hand, takes it towards Jacob's right hand, because the right hand was the preeminent hand, if you will. It was the predominant hand, and the firstborn, according to culture and society, the daddy who was going off the scene would lay his right hand on the head of the firstborn. Are you with me? So when he did that, here's what Jacob did. He took his right hand, he couldn't see, and he crossed it up and put his right hand on the youngest head. Took his left hand and put it on the oldest head. Now somebody says, what's the point? Stay with me. Stay with me here. Notice verse number 17. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. Notice verse number 19. And his father refused. Stay with me now. I'm going to explain this. And said, I know it, my son, I know it. Question, how's he know it? He's blind. There's only one possible way he could know it, and that is God told him. Now stay with me here, friends. Jacob says, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Here's the point. In these verses, we see how Joseph took his sons, brought them near to his father in order to receive his blessing. As I've already explained to you how he did that, we see that Israel, not seeing physically, but rather being led by the will of God, crossed his hands and laid his right hand on Ephraim's head and his left hand on Manasseh's head. This preference in this blessing, get this, under normal circumstances, would rest upon the firstborn. However, Jacob's right hand was placed on the younger. Now, at first, this act displeased Joseph. The Bible tells us how Joseph took his daddy's hand and raised it up and said, not so, daddy, don't do that. Put your right hand on Manasseh's head. But verse number 19 says, Jacob refused. He would not hearken to his son. Jacob, now get this, he knew exactly what he was doing. And he was acting in accordance with the will of God revealed in his life. God had shared with him how Ephraim was in preference over Manasseh. I don't understand that. I'm not trying to figure it out. That's just the Bible, friends. And that being the case, history is borne out. And even as you read the Word of God, as I was studying, it was bringing out different ways how Ephraim really did grow to be larger than Manasseh. But here's what I'm trying to get across here. There's a great thought that comes out here that even when we are sick, and even when we are feeble, we can still stand firm for the will of God. No matter what kind of opposition arises, As a matter of fact, this opposition arose from the, now get this, the hardest place, in my opinion, in Jacob's life that it could, that anywhere, in other words, he could handle almost any opposition, but this is Joseph opposing this. This is his beloved son. But yet we see that God had revealed his will to Jacob. And even though he was sick and he was blind and he was ready to die, he had learned in his life whatever God's will is. I don't care who tells me not to do it, I'm going to refuse anybody trying to tell me anything different. You get what I'm getting here? One person put it this way, the will of God is determined by a sovereign God, not by society. See, by society of this day, the culture of this day, then this was wrong, but in God's eyes it was right. Let me say this to you. If God tells you to crisscross your arms, crisscross them, friends. Amen tonight. I don't care what Joseph says about it. Now, we love Joseph, and we know that Joseph will come around in this. He just wasn't brought up to par in this. Yes, this was not a tripping up point for Joseph, but let me tell you this. It would have been awful easy for Jacob to say, listen, we've been separated so long. Sure, anything you want, son, anything you want. Not Jacob. Jacob said, son, I will not do what you're telling me to do because I'm doing what God wants me to do. Can I say this to you? One person put it this way. We must not be surprised if those closest to us oppose our faith. And nothing so tests our faith as their opposing it. Talking about those that are closest to you. But faith must sooner or later learn to stand alone. The fact is when you are older, when you are sick, when you are feeble, and or you are ready to die, you can still stand for God and His will no matter what kind of opposition comes. One person put it this way, the weak knee Christianity that is so predominant today reveals a weak faith Christianity. Stand for God. Do God's will until God calls you home. You say, I can't do what I used to. Then do what you can. And one thing you can do is you can obey whatever God tells you to do. That's number three. Number four. When he was sick, blind, and ready to die. Number four. He encouraged his son in the Lord. He encouraged his son in the Lord. Notice verse number 21. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Boy, this is a beautiful verse. Matter of fact, I would encourage you, I've not done this, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to put an asterisk right beside verse number 21. What a great thought comes out here. In this verse, all fathers, all parents, but especially fathers, can learn from this man of God. Now get this. Jacob is old. Jacob is tired. Jacob is sick. He's not feeling well. He is blind. He can't see any longer. He is ready to die at any moment. But listen to this man of God. Grab his son and tell him, son, I'm getting ready to die, but God's not. That's what he's telling him. And he's saying, I want you to know something, Joseph, that even though your daddy will not be here forever for you, even though I am going the way of all the earth and I will no longer be here for you to come to and ask my counsel, I want you to know something, that God will still be here. And even though I'm gone, God will be right here with you, boy. In this, we see this dear father. Boy, this is touching. We see this dear father, this dear aging man of God, encouraging his son in the Lord. He speaks with comfort about his approaching death and how even though he would be gone, God would not be. What a lesson for all parents, especially aging fathers. If you're an aging father, if you're an older man, I'll let you determine what I mean by older. I'm not going to get myself in trouble. But if you're an older man, maybe you have children and grandchildren. Some of you even have great-grandchildren. Some of you may even have great-great-grandchildren. Let me say this to you. As your body ages and you become tired and your body doesn't feel good, you're sick, and death seems like it's breathing down your neck, let me give you some advice and something you can still do. Gather your children around you and encourage them in Jesus Christ. Don't point your children to yourself, because they can lose you at any moment. Point your children to God, who will always be here. I was thinking this afternoon, maybe it's yesterday, good night, the days run together for me. But I was thinking about this church, and I was thinking about how so badly I want you to understand this, and I realize that, and I hope you don't have this, but there are some churches who put their faith in their pastor. Please don't do that. Don't put your faith in me. Because if you put your faith in me, what happens when I die, when I go, when I'm gone? It can happen at any moment. Don't put your faith in me. My children are here. My boy's listening. My girl, she's, I don't know what she's doing. I'd rather not know. But I want my son to understand something. Judson, I want you to look right up here at me, son. Put your faith in God. I'm here for you. I'll die for you. But the fact is, you can lose me at any moment. But there's a God in heaven that nobody's going to kill. There's a God in heaven who will never have a heart attack, never have cancer. He's an ever-present help in time of need. And one thing we learn from this dear dying man of God, glory this blessed me right here, is when he didn't feel like it, and his body was weak, and he was in pain, he knew one thing he could still do is take his son and say, son, I'm going to die, but God will still be with you. Good night, friends. If we can't apply that to our life, we've got problems. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, don't turn to it, just listen to this. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 1. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, the captains over the thousands and captains over the hundreds, stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. So he's gathering everybody around him. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. God said unto me, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he had chosen Judah to be the ruler and of the house of Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. So he's just rehearsing to the people here. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, So see, he's been talking to all the rulers and he's saying, let me just tell you what to do. Obey God. And then I see that dear man of God grabbing Solomon. And he says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Man, what a testimony for a man of God right there. He's saying, God shared with me. He'd given me many sons, many boys, but one of them he chose to build my sanctuary. And he's saying, with all those people gathered around him, serve God, obey the Lord. And Solomon, my boy, God wants to use you. Know the God of your father. Know my God. He wants to use you. He wants to make of something great of you. And he's saying, God has a will for your life. He's saying, be strong, son, and do the will of God. This is what Jacob is doing. Jacob is letting his son know that even though he is getting ready to die, God never will. And I'm going to tell you one thing you can do even when you don't feel like it, is you can encourage your children in the Lord. You can tell them how good God's been to you, and you can point them to Jesus Christ. Hey, there's nothing wrong with telling your children, Daddy's not going to be here forever. Daddy won't be here forever. But I know somebody who will. And his name is Jesus Christ. Let me give you a fifth thing tonight. When Jacob was sick, when he was blind, when he was ready to die, we see that he still spoke about God. We see he still praised God for his goodness. We see he still obeyed God no matter where the opposition came from. We see he encouraged his son in the Lord. And then number five, we see that even when his body was shutting down on him, he still believed God's word. He still believed God's word. We see this in verses 3 and 4 and then verse number 21 again. Notice, and Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful, multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. So he's saying, that's what God told me. Now notice verse number 21. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you. And God will bring you again unto the land of your fathers. That's a simple statement, but it is packed full of truth. You know what Jacob's doing here? He rehearsed to Joseph in verses 3 and 4 how God had spoken to him in times past. And about how he was going to give the Israelites, ultimately he was going to give the Israelites the promised land. Then in verse number 21, we see he told Joseph on his deathbed that God was going to keep his word. We see from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. Matter of fact, hold your place here. Turn with me to Hebrews just a moment. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse number 21, we see that how even when Jacob was blessing Joseph's sons, we see how he did that in faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. Notice what it says. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. So in this chapter that we are, Jacob is leaning upon the top of his staff. He is blessing Ephraim and Manasseh. This is the scene that we're preaching on tonight. And Hebrews 11, 21 sheds a little bit more light on it. They say, here's why he did that. He did that by faith. And he was worshiping while he did it. What am I saying here? I'm saying this to you. I'm saying this, we know that Jacob was not always what he should be, but we see here in his last days, this man of God's finishing right, friends. He really is. He is crossing the finish line at a dead pace. He is showing strong faith in God, and he's showing strong faith in God's word. Now, friends, listen to me. Your body may be giving out on you, but your faith can get stronger and stronger. Did you hear what I just said? Your body may get weaker and weaker, but as your body weakens, your faith can strengthen. While sickness and death lingers near, let us believe God in His holy word until He calls us home. Todd was a 3-year-old boy from the state of Rhode Island. He went down to the seacoast. He's only 3 years old. And they were going to the seacoast to fly a kite. But the interesting thing about that is this 3-year-old boy had never seen a kite fly. So he was obviously a little bit skeptical. You mean this is going to go up in the air? His father assured him, said, "Trust me, son, everything's okay. The kite is going to go up as planned." So the little boy went with his daddy and unraveled the string. And he watched as the wind caught it and it just went up in the air and it was flying around. And apparently while it was flying around, here's what that little boy said, 3 years old. He said, "I knew it would fly, Daddy. You told me it would." You know what God's looking for? Somebody just to say, "I believe you." Hey, let me tell you how you know you're going to heaven. Because you believe God's a God of His Word. How can we trust God to take our soul to heaven, but not trust Him to take care of us on earth? The old chorus that preacher has taught us. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He's going to keep His word whether we believe it or not. The Bible says in Mark 11:22, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Have faith in God. And I like what John 17:17 says. Jesus said this, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Life had taken its toll on the body of Jacob. He's 147 years old. He is coming to the end of his life. His body is weak. His body is sick. His body is tired. He is blind. And he steps away from death. However, while he was in this shape, there were some things he kept on doing for the glory of God. And let us all learn the lesson tonight that while our bodies can limit us in some areas, it should never limit us in speaking about God, in praising God for His goodness, in obeying God's will and word, no matter where the opposition comes from, in gathering our children and grandchildren and encouraging them toward God, and in believing the word of God with whatever He says He's going to do, He's going to do. This is chapter 48. Two more chapters, and we're done with Genesis. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love You. Thank You for this night. Help us to be faithful to You. Challenge our hearts, please. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I'm going to start where the Lord would always have me start, and that is with making sure that everybody here is a child of God. Do you know without a doubt that heaven's your home? If you don't, you can do what two adults did this morning. They came and they were saved here at this altar. If they meant what they prayed and asked Jesus to come into their heart. Don't come to a service like this and leave not knowing that you're on your way to heaven. Come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Jody, boy, when God laid that message on your heart, He must have had me in mind. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Jody, I'm going to be honest with you. I can identify with Jacob. I can't do the things I used to. My body's tired. My body's aging. Maybe you're sick. That could be any age. You might be a teenager and your body's sick, but however God's dealing, have you say, Jody, let me deal first of all with those who are the elderly folks in our church. If you consider yourself elderly, a senior saint, and you say, Jody, God is speaking to me in this message. I realize that there's some things I can't do that I used to. But God's encouraged my heart with this sermon. And I see that while the devil tries to tell me and focus on all the things I can't do, that there's so many things I can do until God calls me home. Have you say, Jody, I am one of those. I identify with Jacob. And the message, no doubt, is for me. No doubt the message is for me. Have you feel that way tonight? Would you raise your hand in the air? Oh, look at those hands. God bless you. If you raise your hand to that question, I want you to lower it, but I want you to look at me just a moment. That's a lot of you. That's a lot of you. I want you to know something. We love you. You precious folks who are standing for God in your later years in life, in my opinion, you're the backbone of this church. That's my opinion. You help keep this church going in the right direction. I'm going to tell you something. Maybe you're limited in your body now, but you don't have to be in your spirit. You can talk about God until He calls you home, no matter how bad you feel. You can praise God for His goodness, because I think you'd agree with me, He's been pretty good to you, hadn't He? Hey, you can gather your children, your grandchildren, and say, listen, you may not have me very much longer, but I'll guarantee you this, you'll never lose God. Friends, you can obey God's will and God's word till the Lord calls you home. And you can take the word of God and you can be laying flat on your back and can't move a muscle, but in your heart you can believe what God's told you. You can have faith in the word of God. Here's what I'm saying. Don't die before you die. Understand what I'm saying to you? Don't die before you die. Go on for God. Grab some of these younger men, if you're a man. Ladies, grab some of these younger ladies and say, listen, I just like to spend some time with you. May the Lord help you. I hope God's encouraged you tonight. Keep going. I'd like to ask you to respond here in just a moment. You can bow your heads again. Have you say, Jody, I'm a younger person. I don't consider myself a senior saint. I'm just not to that point in my life right now. You realize you will be if time marches on, the Lord tarries His coming. Have you consider yourself a younger man or a younger woman? Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with me? You say, I consider myself a younger person. If you got your hand raised, I want you to look at me just a moment. Let me tell you one thing I've done in my ministry. I'm not saying be like me, but I am trying to say this. I'm trying to live what I preach tonight. You know one thing I've done in my ministry as a pastor of this church? I cannot tell you how many times I've called Preacher Lashley and said, can I talk to you? Can I run something by you? He's in his office. I go in and say, hey, I've got some thoughts. Can I run them by you, preacher? That man's 80 years old. That man knows God, friends. And I want to pick fruit as long as he's here. If you're a man looking at me right now, you know what you need to do? Hope I'm not embarrassing somebody. I'm just picking out one name. Please don't think I'm uplifting somebody to the expense of others, but I'm going to pick out one name. You need to find a man like Jack Mosher and get with him. Let him pour his life out into you. If you're a lady, find a lady like Miss Lashley. Let her pour her life out into you. Hey, you teenagers, let me tell you one thing you can do. Let me tell you one of the greatest things you can do. Find an elderly, godly person. Go to Brother Bob. Come to me. We'll point you to somebody. Say, there's somebody that it'd be great if you turned out like them. Amen, friends. Amen. I'm telling you, the younger folks need to glean from the older folks, and the older folks need to see that they are still useful in the hands of God because He's given them air to breathe. Don't die before you die. Go on for God. Make an impact for Jesus Christ. I don't know how God's using this, but however He wants to use it, let Him use it. All I know is I want my son and I want this church to understand something. Don't look to me, look to Jesus. Go to God, whatever it is. Hey, some of you elderly folks are here. Some of your children are here. Some of your grandchildren are here. Leave your place and just go get your family. Bring them to this altar and say, I just want you to know something. I love you, I'm praying for you, and I want God's best in your life. Whatever God's doing, do it. Obey Him. Do the will of God. Whatever God uses, say yes. Say yes to Him. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought. Bless these precious older folks who have been blessed by this message and you're speaking to them. Help them not to die before they die. Help the younger people to find some of these elderly people and glean from them. Help the elderly people to train our younger people. May we all glean from one another. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to sing. As soon as he begins to sing, if God is speaking to you, if God has shared with you tonight, hey, your body's wearing out, but He's encouraged your heart. Come talk to Him. Get on your knees. Hey, listen, maybe that's a limitation you have. Maybe you can't get on your knees. Then just come have a seat on the front row and thank God for speaking to your heart. Whatever it is, Brother Gary sings. Come now.
Have thine own way,
come
Lord.
Come
have
now.
Thine own way.
Boy, it'd be great for some of the elderly folks to go across the aisle, grab your family, bring them to the altar tonight. Some of your daddies
hold me and make
building your families around yourself instead of around God.
Mama,
building it around Jesus. Just keep on singing, Brother Gary. Let's give the Lord a little bit of time to work here.
Have thine own way.
Time to work.
Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me.
Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the privilege of knowing that while our bodies give out, our faith can get stronger. While folks are aging and folks are becoming feeble, and some are sick, they don't feel good, and some even feel that death is around the corner, Lord, encourage us with the life of this dear man of God called Jacob. Help us to see how he finished right. He went across the finish line full speed. Help us all to do the same. Keep your hand upon this church. Help us, Lord, to learn these truths and apply them to our lives. Bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have one business item. That's it. We'll be gone. Brother Mark, if you'll come, and we'll call the church into session.